For the past 4 months, Peter Bruff and Archie Andrews have been circling the globe in an attempt to improve Master Andrews' knowledge of geography before his next course of education starts on Wednesday, the 25th of September. Meanwhile, for the next half hour, and with the cooperation of the Australian Broadcasting Commission, we bring you, by way of a curtain raiser to the new series, a recording made before they left Sydney on their journey home.
Ladies and gentlemen, Archie in Australia. Yes, it's the Archie Andrews Show with Red Courtney, Reginald Goldsworthy, Betty Parker and Ray Barron, Wendy Blacklock, Bill Sutter, and music from Britain's greatest harmonica player, Ronald Chesney. And now, for the last time in this series, we want you to meet the star of the show, Archie Andrews.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, folks, we come to the last in the series, Archie in Australia. This program is being taken by the BBC. Yes, the BBC have advised us that they want people in England to hear this show. So we've asked the actors to speak up very loud.
We're sure that Archie's countless friends would like to know what sort of life Archie and Bruff are living in Australia. Most people, knowing our peace-loving heroes, imagine that you could go to their house any time, open the door, and hear... Yes, that's what most people imagine, but how wrong they are. Now we'll take you in and show you what it's really like.
I say, do you mind? Steady on. This is all rather infra-dig. After all, it's not cricket.
Well, leave it to me, Bruff. I'll speak to my friends in their own language. Shut up, you lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, my friends. As you all know, Archie and I will shortly be leaving you and returning to England.
Poor Mrs. Twistle, are you crying because Bruff's leaving?
I'm still crying because he came.
So we thought we'd invite you here to get your suggestions for a farewell party. Now, who's got any ideas? As Archie's Australian benefactor, Mr. Courtley, how about you?
Well, I know. Let's have 5,000 bottles of beer and a sausage roll.
Oh, no fear. Who's going to eat all that food? I say, how about a barbecue on the beach?
No, thank you. Not after the last one you organized, my boy. Oh, the steak was all salty and soggy.
Well, how was I to know the tide would come in?
I'm not sold on this idea of a barbecue. Now, why don't we have the party indoors?
No fear. Last time someone put a glass of beer in one end of the piano, a glass of lemonade in the other, and then I pressed middle C and got an eye full of sandy.
Ah, that was a night, that was. Remember, Archie? We went out and collected all those traffic signs.
Yes, we brought them all home. We put a go slow on the sofa, a tow away area sign in Bruff's bedroom, and a no parking notice in the bathroom.
And do you remember that beautiful girl I brought along?
Beautiful girl? Mr. Courtley, listen to this. I got a surprise when you walked in with her, didn't you?
So did I, yes. It was my mother.
What about this party? Now, where's Ronald Chesney? Now, here's the boy with ideas.
Well, he's over in that corner with his girlfriend of his. I'll go over and get him.
By gad, Merle, old girl. Though I say it myself, you're an extremely attractive little filly. Wouldst come closer?
Oh, I say, by gad, you're an extremely attractive little filly. Oh, listen to this. Oh, dear.
I say, Merle, old thing, I have a spiffing idea. Let's osculate.
Well, what time we just start off with a kiss?
Oh, by jolly jingo, I'm going to hate myself in the morning.
I say, you are a thing, aren't you, eh?
Do you know this is the first time I've ever been kissed by a harmonica player? What suction? Hey, look, do you think I could have me fillings back?
I say, Merle, do come back to England with me. I think you're terribly, terribly nice. You could come to my country estate. There'll be just the two of us.
The two of them, huh? Careful, Merle. He's got a wife and three kids. Hello? Yeah. What? Oh, thank you. Sorry, four kids.
Scott, not Archibald. and cease this frivolity. Run away.
But, I want to watch.
Archie, you are trying.
Yes, so are you.
Archie, come over here. Now, about this party, my boy, I've been giving it some thought, and I've decided that before we plan what type of party we're going to give, we must first work out how many people we're going to invite. Make a list. Now, I must ask all the people who've been kind to us. Now, have you kept a note of all the people who've given me free meals? I had about 100 last week.
Oh, now, just a minute. You could only eat about 20 meals in a week.
I know. He sent food parcels back to England.
Scrounger.
But I did some reciprocal entertaining. Didn't you have a meal at my place the other night, Mr. Courtley?
Yes, a lovely meal. Very reasonable, too. Only 12 and 6.
I'll have to invite all the people in our radio show.
What time we all get real hip? I'll bring around some records and you get a record player.
Record player, 33, 45 or 78?
Oh, I don't care how old he is, as long as he can play records.
Well, now, look. Leave it to me to organize the program. Yes, we'll have a bright, friendly party and finish up with a nice little playlet to entertain the guests. Yes, we'll hire a hall, we'll have plenty of good food, some entertainment, and we must have some music.
Oh, well, perhaps Ronald Chesney could provide that.
Oh, yes, we must have old Chesney play, as this is a very important occasion. You know, since he's been in Australia, he's done a lot of good work in public.
Done a lot of good work in private, too, darling.
And tell me, what public work has he done, Archie?
Oh, he's done a lot for the immigration scheme, you know. The ships are full up.
Really?
Yeah, since he's been playing in Australia, 10,000 people have left for England.
Odds bodkins. Be quiet, Archie, while I practice my number for the party.
Oh, odds bodkins, did you catch that? Oh, it's an Australian number, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's a number that everybody knows very well here. It's called the Road to Gundagai.
Oh, ho.
I think everything's organized for the party.
Yes, I think so, Bruff. Doesn't the hall look nice? The guests will be here soon now.
Hiya, Spot. What's your pleasure?
Greyhounds and girls. What's yours?
Well, now, what do you think of our dance hall? How about these decorations?
Yeah, I like the balloons. Unusual, aren't they?
Yes, they're all in different shapes, like Walt Disney's characters. Oh. These are some Donald Ducks. Those up there are Mickey Mouse's. And that one's Pluto the dog.
Oh, and what's this one?
Claire the cat. Oh, sorry. It's me rubber glove. Oh, look, forgive me. I'm so confused today. Oh, look, you know I'm in charge of this hall.
Yes.
Well, look, yesterday, I slipped up and made a double booking.
Oh.
I had a wedding party taking place one end of the hall and a union meeting at the other.
Oh, sounds a bit of a mess up.
Oh, it was. The preacher said, does anyone know why this wedding shouldn't take place? And the union leader put it to the vote and the bridegroom was blackballed.
Say, what is she muzzle, eh?
Oh, look, you've never seen anything like it.
No.
Just as the man said he'll give the bride away, a delegate got up and said 50,000 men at the coalfield.
And how did it all end?
two shop stewards went off on a honeymoon, the bride went on strike for shorter hours. Well, look, you'll have to excuse me. I'm not going to get changed now at the party.
Oh, Mrs. Twistle, well, are you enjoying yourself? Had anything to eat yet?
Oh, yes, yes, I have, yes. I've just been having a bash at the savouries. I've been eating those little brown raisins on sticks.
Little brown raisins on they were matches.
No wonder I got heartburn when I rumbled.
Hello, Mr. Courtley.
You like the food here, Archie?
Oh, it's wonderful. Yes, especially the meat. Yesterday I had a steak that was so big and fresh, I had to hold it down.
Why?
Well, if a cow walked by, it would have chased it.
Now, Mrs. Twistle, my dear, can I help you to some fruit? Would you like a pineapple?
No, pineapples make me pine.
Well, have some melon.
No, melons make me melancholy.
Have some passion fruit. Oh,
you.
Here I am, late again.
Ah, hello, Mr. Goldsworthy. Here, I've been having fun. Oh, I'll get that right in a minute. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Goldsworthy. It's been fun having you in our radio show. Well, he got it right that time.
Mr. Goldsworthy, you've worked a lot with English artists, haven't you?
Yes, that's right. I used to be in a show with Dick Bentley. Oh. Well, great guy. We were very proud of the fact that he was born in Sydney.
Huh, I thought he was born in the bush.
Well, that's right. When he was born, Sydney was all bush.
Oh, is he really that old?
Well, he's getting on. Oh. I'll never forget the first time we met. I had to go round to his house to see him. I knocked on the door. A little grey-haired, wizened old man came tottering down the stairs. And I said, I want to see Dick Bentley. And the old man turned round and called out, Dad, Dad, you're wanted.
All right, Reg, well, the bar's over there, and I'm sure you must be thirsty.
Archie, Archie.
Oh, hello, Wendy.
Wendy, really, you might have washed for the party. My goodness, please.
We haven't got a bathroom in our house.
Oh, then what do you do when you need a bath?
Keep away from people.
Yeah, I say, Wendy, look who's just arrived. It's Betty Parker. Oh, doesn't she look great?
I look lovely. Look at my lips. Haven't you noticed they're made up tonight?
They look a bit blotchy.
Oh, yes. I didn't have any lipstick, so I went out and kissed a pillar box labeled wet paint.
Archie, do you like the perfume I'm wearing?
Oh, Betty, yes.
What's it called? Passion on Saturday evening.
Smells more like putrid on Sunday morning.
Now, Wendy, please, remember the party spirit. Look, why don't you suggest something that Betty could drink?
Oh, yes, I know the very thing.
Oh, can you get it?
Not without signing the poison book.
Oh, don't mind her.
You don't seem to like me anymore.
Oh, Wendy, how can you say that? After all, I think you've got something that Betty hasn't.
Oh, really? What is it?
Spots.
Oh, that does it. I'm going off to find someone else to talk to. See you later, Arch.
Yeah, just a minute. My name's Archie, not Arch.
But out here, we always give people nicknames.
Yes, so I've noticed.
That's right, Archie. If your name is John, they call you Jack. If your name is Maxwell, they call you Mac. If your name is James, they call you Jim.
And if you are all skin and bone, they call you Slim. Oh, come on, Betty. Tell us some more about these nicknames.
If your name is William, they call you Bill. If your name is Philip, they call you Phil. If your name is Martin, they call you Mark. If they don't know your name, they call you Sport.
Here, let me think about nicknames.
Oh, be quiet. Betty's doing all right.
My name is Betty. They call me Bet. And little Archie, well, you're my pet.
My name is Wendy. They call me Wen.
Then tell me when, or when will you come to my den?
Listen to this.
All right.
Your name is Hubert Cecil Vaughan.
Then they call you a real raw prawn.
Your name is Albert, they call you Al.
They don't know your name, they call you Pal.
A wise man once said, what's in a name? A rose is a rose is a rose. You're born with a name that Mama arranged, but when you grow up, it is changed. A little name, name, nick, nick, name, nick, nick, name, name. If your name is Murphy, they call you Spud. If you don't behave, your name is Mud. If you go for Frankie, then you're a fan. And if you dig that crazy jive, they call you Man.
Oh, come on, fellas, don't stand there. Come on, Ray, join in.
My name is Raymond, they call me Ray.
I'm hot stuff, they call me all day.
My name is June, they call me June. I'll have to get a nickname soon.
Well, his name is Peter, let's call him Pete. If you don't behave, I'll spank your seat.
Come on, let's do what the Aussies do. A nickname we will find for you.
If your name is Raymond, they call you Bill. If your name is Bill, they call you Bill. If your name is Al, they call you Al. If you don't know your name, they call you Pal.
Thank you, thank you. Now, folks, take your places and settle down. For we come to the high spot of the evening's entertainment, a little story which is based on a true episode in Australian history called the Eureka Stockade.
This is a story dealing with the basic desires of all men. Yes, it tells of the one thing that each man craves for throughout his life. I refer to gold.
Could have fooled me.
Yes. The action takes place on the goldfields of Ballarat in the year 1850. This was the time when early settlers came to this great continent. Yes, strong, husky men poured in the country. They received a great welcome. The women in the country love being poured. It concerns the struggle of the gold miners to preserve their rights against the tyranny of the army.
When the trouble came, I organized the restless miners. Yes, I knew all about dealing with miners whose passions were aroused. My mother was a barmaid at Broken Hill. I looked for gold with my partner, Digger Brown.
But as soon as we discovered any gold, it was stolen from us. Stolen from us by the soldiers, and they were encouraged by their captain.
I'm the captain of the Eureka Stockade. I'm in charge of the local corps. But I take all the miners' gold. I'm a disgrace to the regiment. Yes, I'm rotten to the core.
Things were so bad on the goldfields that I sent Archie into town to hire a bodyguard.
And so this young, tough, devil-may-care prospector rides down the main street.
Look! No hands.
Dismounting, he strides into the saloon bar, an enchanting place. It's called the Gin Guzzle. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the name of the band playing there, Jim Gussie.
Out of the way there, fellas. Make way for Digger Archie. Come on. Let's have a drink. Barman, come here.
Yes, sir.
Give me a glass of milk.
Milk? I thought you were tough.
I am. Put it in a dirty glass.
Hey, sport. How are you and your partner getting on with the prospecting? Found any gold?
Plenty. Plenty. Trouble is, the soldiers from the stockade keep coming and taking it off us.
The soldiers?
Yeah, the whole regiment. They drink so much, they get high, and then they start looting.
Oh, I see. A high-polluting regiment. Oh, why are you in town?
I want a bodyguard.
Oh, my sister wears one of them.
No. I want a bodyguard to stop the soldiers pinching.
Yeah, that's the same reason my sister wears one.
Now, don't muck about. My partner and I must have someone to help us protect our gold.
Aren't you strong enough yourselves?
No, though mind you, we did try building ourselves up. Every morning for the last 2 years, we've been going out in the backyard and digging a hole.
Have you got strong muscles?
No. Nope.
Have you got powerful biceps?
No. Nope.
What have you got?
A hole in the backyard 2 miles deep. But will you come and help us?
Of course, I'm handy with a gun. I work for the police protecting the bank from robbers. Did really well. 5 years, not one bank was stolen.
Huh. You sound just the man that we need out of the goldfields. Have you got a gun?
Yes, a two-barrel shotgun. I'll drink 2 barrels and I'll have a shot at anything.
Well, come on. Let's get mounted.
So you bought someone to help us, eh? You there, have you any experience in fighting?
I certainly have. Been in the army myself.
Ah, did you do much fighting?
Well, not exactly. The army decided that the best way I could serve my country was to go behind enemy lines.
Oh, they wanted you to become a saboteur.
No, prisoner of war. Hey, I'm hungry after that ride. What do you do for food round here?
Never mind about food. Come on, those soldiers from the stockade are out looting again. Archie, Mr. Quartley, you've arrived just in time. Here comes another soldier, come to steal our gold.
Oh, I think he's in the cavalry. He's got a plume in his hat.
It's in the household cavalry.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's not a plume in his hat, it's a feather duster.
Hey, you there! I come for your gold.
You can't scare me. I'll never tell you where the gold is. Never, never, never!
All right, then!
It's in the cupboard.
Ah, let's have your other valuables. Hand them over. I want everything. Everything. What are you trying to hide under that blanket?
It's only a picture of Captain Cook. It's of great sentimental value.
What's sentimental about it?
It's printed on a £5 note.
Give it. Right. That's the lot. So long, suckers.
Ah, this is the last time those wicked soldiers take anything off us. There's only one thing to do. I'm going to round up all the miners, organize them, and march on the stockade.
And within a few hours, we'd rounded up enough men to march on the stockade. We led the way. The angry miners were behind us, murmuring their dissent.
Their dissent, their dissent, their dissent.
Quiet, men, quiet. This stockade looks impregnable.
Don't worry. I've got something in case we have to fight.
What is it?
A white flag.
Look, the commander of the fort is waving a white flag as well.
Oh, dear, how embarrassing. His flag is so much whiter than mine.
Here, wait a minute. His white flag's disappeared.
Well, where's it gone?
He's tucked it in his trousers. It wasn't a white flag at all. He's still dressing.
He's coming out.
Give us our gold back. Give us back our gold.
Come on.
Give it back. Stop it.
You're too late. Go on, disperse. Shoot.
We're not going till we get our gold. Come on, men. Let's attack the stockade.
Ah, you can't frighten me. No, you can't frighten me. I've won many awards for bravery. Come closer and have a good look at me. There. What do you think of the way I've been decorated?
Oh, wonderful. Never seen anything like it.
Well, surely you've seen a soldier with ribbons before?
Yeah, but not in his hair.
And look. No, please. Pay attention. Look at those other ribbons. The green one's for courage. The red one's for valor.
What's the pink one for?
There's a hole in my tunic. It's my shoulder strap. And this one here is me wound stripe.
Well, who wounded you?
My CO. He pricked me when he pinned on the other metal's old butter fingers.
Well, now, are you going to give us back our gold?
No, I terrible won't, so there. And don't start me fighting, you won't win.
Oh, you've got your white flag out already.
It's not my white flag. It's my shirt tail. I still haven't finished dressing.
Then this means war.
Now put down that gun, son.
Ah, get back to your fort, sport.
Come on, men. Form up and stand by your arms. Trumpeter, sound the charge. You fool, that's the retreat.
I know. I had my music back to front.
Look out. They're opening fire from the stockade. Watch it, look out. Take care. Here comes a salvo. Oh, what shall we do?
Grab our tambourines and join in the chorus.
Come on, men. We'll show them we're not beaten yet. Fix bayonets and charge. That'll surprise them.
Surprise them? Whoops! Ooh, I'm surprised myself. I put my bayonet on the wrong end of the rifle. Ooh.
Hurry, men. Charge!
We must overcome this resistance. Otherwise, the common working man will be suppressed forever. Someone has got to sacrifice themselves. See those sticks of dynamite? Someone must strap the dynamite around themselves, rush through the enemy fire, and hurl it at the gates of the stockade.
Here, give that dynamite to me.
Good man, Quartley. Here you are.
Thank you. Now, Archie, stand still while I strap them on you.
Oh, land it again. Oh, never mind. I'll do it. But tell me, after I've set off the dynamite, will you pin a medal on my chest?
Certainly, son. The moment it comes down. So off you go, and the best of luck.
All right.
Look at that. What a brave lad. Look at that, fighting his way through.
Yes, he is indeed a brave lad.
Yes, he's reached the stockade. He's taken off the dynamite, and there it goes. And we've won. The soldiers are laying down their arms. The captain's waving the white flag. Hooray! Archie, my boy, thank goodness you're back. That dynamite did the trick.
Yes, Bruff, but not the way you think. That's not the white flag. It's the captain's shirt tail. The explosion blew off his trousers.
Ah, well, my friend, that's the end of the sketch.
Peter, I've been looking for you everywhere.
Well, what is it, Ronnie?
Look, our guest of honor has arrived.
Oh, yes, look, here he is, Sir Donald Bradman.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Archie, my boy. It's very nice to be at your party.
Very nice of you to come, Don.
But after that wonderful weekend you gave us at your home in Adelaide, we thought no farewell party of ours would be right without your presence to set the seal on it.
Thank you. Well, Archie, have you enjoyed your visit to my country?
Sir Donald, it's been one of the greatest experiences of my life, and an experience that I wouldn't miss for the world, especially seeing your beautiful girls. I say, Sir Don, would you give me a few tips on the old leg glass?
Yes, but mine would be with willow and not with nylon, my boy.
Ah, but joking apart, this really is a great place, especially for young people.
Yes, Archie. And I'd like you to tell all the young people back home of the wonderful opportunities that exist here in Australia, particularly for young families wishing to emigrate. This great continent is full of opportunities in every walk of life, and for anyone wishing to put their shoulder to the wheel, they can create a wonderful future for themselves.
Well, thank you very much, Sir Donald. We'll tell everybody when we get home, Archie. And, Don, we hope to be seeing you in England before very long.
Goodbye, and a safe journey back to England.
London, kindly say goodbye to their friends and proceed to board the aircraft. Thank you.
Well, Archie, my boy, this is it. Soon be back in England, old son.
Yes. It's been a wonderful experience coming to Australia. This great country, bruv. Ah. And I do want to thank everyone for being so nice and friendly to us.
Yes. How kind they are, Archie. How they try and help you the moment you arrive.
Yeah, that's true, bruv.
So remember that if someone seems to need a helping hand, or if someone wants a friend to understand, then let him see that he can depend on you to be a good companion,
just like me.
Be a good companion,
and you'll see
that you'll have good companions too.
Fred Schwartley, Ray Barrett and Betty Parker, June Salter, Wendy Blacklock, Reginald Goldsworthy, our stars Ronald Chesney, Peter Bruff and Archie Andrews, who appeared by arrangement with David N. Martin. Your announcer was Jim Dibble. Jim Gussie's augmented ABC dance band was led by Ellis Whalen, script by Ronnie Wolfe and Hugh Stuckey, production Harry Pringle.